I remember Smith Wigglesworth said, you know, if you were alive at the time that John Wesley began to move in the things of God, and you were not a part of it, you might as well have been dead. And he went on and said it about the Salvation Army, and then he said that about the Pentecostal move. And I thought, well, the fact of the matter is, for the most part, a lot of people will be dead if they don't catch on to what God is doing. Thank God we happen to be here, we are alive, and we have seen what God is doing, and we are delighted that we have a God who reveals himself and a God who wants to move among us. I want to talk to you today about the new thing, fresh oil. Last week I shared with you about the miraculous oil that has been produced by flowing out of the Bible of a man in Dalton, Georgia. Wonderful man who, when I went down there to visit with 22 of our intercessors and people that wanted to go last week, he just came over to me and said, the Lord spoke to me to pray for you. And he's the man who has the Bible that they went home after they'd been doing a lot of praying. In fact, these people pray together a lot. Wonderful things come when people pray together a lot. And the devil can't keep it from happening because the Holy Spirit keeps driving away his purpose in it. And so he said that he went home that night, and he thought it looked like there was a little spot of grease on Psalm 39. But as he continued to look, as the days followed very quickly, it went on through the Psalms, this little spot, and became oil all over these pages until it got all the way through the book of Revelation and then started back again in the first chapter of Genesis and came back to Psalm 39. And he put it in, first of all, in a little Ziploc bag, but it outgrew that, I mean the oil did, and then he had to put it in a larger plastic container, like a Tupperware container. And so it kept growing, the oil kept multiplying, and so they had, by this time, they had a large vessel with it in there. And he said he went to bed one night, and it was about 3/4 full, and he got up the next morning, and it was flowing down the edges. It had actually run over. So he ran out to Walmart and got another larger container to put it in, and the more they give it away, the more it multiplies. Oh my goodness. They have had the oil analyzed. Not they, but somebody did who was skeptical perhaps. Had the oil analyzed through infrared analysis, and it's like mineral oil, but it is not mineral oil. It has elements in it that are not in mineral oil. It is not manufactured. This is what the test came back. It is not manufactured, and it does not match anything natural. It keeps multiplying. They've given away 25,000 small vials of the oil, and it's gone all over the world. And this is since just earlier this year sometime. There are many tremendous testimonies of healing and other miracles resulting from praying while using the anointing oil. Now, they make it very, very clear not to get fixated on the oil, which everybody knows it's all about Jesus. And Jesus is the healer. Oil will not ever be a healer. Jesus is the healer. But he chooses to use this oil that it seems to be supernatural. They say you can't explain it and you can't deny it. It's so unusual. But wonderful things have happened. One, there was a man then at one point, he said there came a shift that one of the churches that they're in fellowship with called up and wanted to know if they could have for their church a gallon of oil. Now, I hope that's a big church. And so they actually drove, and he said it actually looked like a drug exchange. They actually drove their car and met the other people at a certain exit and handed off the oil. And miraculous things have been happening. But since they had the faith to give away a whole gallon of oil, then it started really multiplying. And the Lord spoke to them and said, if you keep giving it away, you'll keep getting it. And it is, they say it will never be for sale. Right there shows how un-American it is. I loved hearing that. Where we went to the meeting was in the back of a bookstore downtown, actually next door to what seemed to be a very large seeker sensitive church. They are right next door. And so as we went to that meeting in the back of the bookstore, and the people there were just, they're just such humble, really people who wanted to see people get healed. They're really not about just anointing people with oil. They really want to see people get healed. And I believe that God's given them some deposits of understanding that are going to help us receive more healing in the church. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to share a little of that with you today. But some of the people from the Dalton, Georgia court started coming to their meetings and wanted to be prayed for and have taken bottles of oil and are anointing the judges there. And you know, when you can get things like that to happen, you know, you can really move out into the city. It's really wonderful. I'm just going to, it would take a long time if I shared testimonies with you, but let me just share one that I like so much. A woman who was an unbeliever was in the hospital preparing for surgery, and it sounded to me like that Johnny, who is the evangelist that was preaching, also works in the hospital from this testimony. And they call him in and said that this woman was really afraid and she wanted to know if somebody could pray for her. She was getting ready to go in for cancer surgery, really bad. And so he went into the room and he knelt down in front of her and he said, are you a believer? She said, no, I'm not. And he said, would you like to know Jesus? And she said, yes, I would. So he led her to Jesus. He anointed her with this oil that he had in his pocket. They quickly came and snatched her and took her to the surgery room, but brought her back very shortly saying, there is no cancer to do surgery on. I mentioned to you last Sunday how God usually moves in revival through unexpected people. And he does an unexpected things that are sometimes hard for people to accept because they are different. Aren't we weird? We'll pay lots of money to go see someone performed or do something that we can't do. But when God does something different, we become skeptical. How strange we are. Isaiah 43 says, 17 through 19, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, so we have a promise that when God chooses, he does new things, as have never been. So don't get your mind made up. If somebody prays for me for healing, it has to be this way, and they can't use this, and they must use that, and they have to come from this group of people. God is God, and you cannot keep him in a box. You know, and the oil was so symbolic and so important in the Old Testament. In the scriptures, the Lord showed Moses how to make the holy anointing oil using only certain ingredients. And no one they were instructed was to ever make any oil like it. And it was used to anoint the furniture in the tabernacle as well as the priest and his garments. It's symbolic of anointing. I'm glad we sang about anointing this morning. When God's selection was shown for the priest or the king, that person was anointed with oil. So oil was an important part to symbolize God's calling on the person's life and that God is at work. You know, the Good Samaritan poured in oil and wine. This was for healing and restoration of the man on the Jericho Road. And it symbolizes the same thing for us, to pour in the oil and the wine. This is the day that God has been as visible as he possibly could be to say, it's time to pour out the oil of anointing and healing on my people, and if you will keep giving it away, I'll keep giving it to you. Hallelujah. Psalm 92:10 says, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." This is fresh oil. This is not something stale. This is not some old idea. If it had been, somebody would have brought it up on some popular TV ministry or some huge church or some acceptable kind of situation. But no, it's just some people that nobody ever heard. I heard the evangelist's name is Johnny. Hopefully, they'll be coming to minister to us, hopefully in October. We've pressed for that. They said at first that no more engagements until after the first of the year. But we're believing God, and I will be announcing to you just as soon as we find out what that day will be. I think you want to be sure that you're here for this. And there will be 10 of their prayer team that will come with them, and they will be praying for you, for the whole church, for all of us. And but Johnny said, I wouldn't have given that Bible to Jerry. I wouldn't have put the oil in that Bible if I'd been God. Now, Jerry's his good friend, and Jerry's the one that prayed for me that has the Bible. He said, I never would have looked at him and said, that's a great guy to put the oil in the Bible. He's got this and he's got that. He said, really? I still don't think I'd have chosen Jerry. He said, we are the most unlikely people. I love it. If God didn't choose unlikely people, then pride would swallow up everybody when God begins to move. They had three instructions. They were instructed that they're not to sell the oil under any circumstances. Secondly, keep giving it away so you can keep receiving more. Thirdly, go to churches where you're invited. Tell them about the oil, pray for them, and give them some oil to be used to anoint and pray for people. Simple. It's a simple formula. Like the formula the Lord gave Heidi Baker for building churches. Blueprint. You never would have dreamed of this. The Lord told Heidi Baker, go into a village, send someone to get the deaf people, and I will heal every one of them. And then you can build a church there. And she does it over and over and over and over again. Simple. We get God's revelation of how he wants it. I'm telling you, in the future, we're going to do this. I was just thinking today. Did you notice that just then I didn't finish any of my sentences? Well, I'm kind of excited about it. And I was just thinking today, as I was sitting there, I was just thinking, oh, we're coming into a time again where I don't have to worry about anything or think about anything. Just sit there and let the Holy Spirit lead everything. He's going to touch us in such wonderful ways. He'll just do it all. It's going to be wonderful. This is a new thing that the very gift of it requires you to use it for the purpose that Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth to heal people and see people delivered and restored. And that's, otherwise, what value would the oil have been? You can, by the way, you can look at this on YouTube under Bible Flowing Oil, something like that. And there are about a half a dozen messages that you can hear. I awakened in the night out of the dream that I was teaching about this oil. This was a couple of nights ago. And I thought, I think this is something the Lord wants me to cause us to understand. The first thing, I just really felt the Lord spoke to me out of that experience. Give, and it shall be given. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Just recently, I think I've ministered on giving and the importance of it. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, the way that you give is the way that you're going to receive back again. I have one little vessel, about the size, a little bit smaller than one of my fingers, of the oil. And at the end of the service today, we're going to pray for you guys. And I have asked some of the intercessory prayer team, as well as the pastors, to join me so that everybody can be prayed for, because you're going to want to be prayed for when you hear the rest of what I have to say today. But in other words, I expect I won't have any more oil left after today. Hello? So either he's going to fill up that vial, or there's going to be other ways that I'm going to get more oil, because if I give it out, then I have to give it out so that I can get some more. Isn't this wonderful? See, this is one of God's principles that he requires of those that he's going to entrust with his anointing. If God's going to entrust you with his anointing, you've got to be a giver. So be ready to part with everything you've been stingy about in time past. It's a day of giving. That is your time, your vacation time you had packed away for something, or any kind of things that you've been holding back. Everybody say it's the day for giving. And God is going to entrust his ministry to the real and true givers. Those people prayed for us down there. And I thought, you guys have to be tired. The way you pray for people and the way you put your heart into it. I don't know. I left after about 2 hours and they were still praying for people. It was so wonderful. They came and got me and took me back into one room and prayed for me. Would you like to go back there? They had everything all arranged. And then Jerry himself came and prayed for me. And I thought, these are the kindest people. I guess it's probably the kind of people God would use with this anointing oil in ministry. I remember that when I went to Toronto several years ago. I thought, I don't know when I've ever seen such kind people. Carol Arnott prayed for me and I went down on the floor. I promise you, I lay there and could not get up. And tears filled my ears and I just lay there and let it happen. It was so wonderful. They were my tears, you understand? But I don't know what kind of picture I gave you there. Jerry said that he cannot seem to empty his vial because it keeps multiplying no matter how much he uses it. They were told that they should never sell the oil under any circumstances. Now, I want to just make this real clear. We need to understand the basic principles of this because who knows what God's going to be doing next. Acts 8, I want you to see this, verse 18 through 24. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, and this will happen every time, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said, thy money perish with thee. I think the Message Bible says your money go to hell with you. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. That is damnable. That's why he said it in such strong language. Do not think that you can turn money into something that comes from God. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, in a bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken will come upon me. You know, it's wonderful. It's a little bit scary. I'd be rather be a little bit scared than dead. How about you? He also told me that they did not ask for anything when they go to minister at a place. Jerry said this to me as I talked to him about coming and perhaps when they could come and so forth. He said, now, we don't ask for anything. And so when I talked to him on the phone, I said, but now there's going to be 10 or 12 people with you. Obviously, we're going to have places for you to stay. He said, well, people usually do that. But notice, they weren't asking for anything. And of course, you know, we're going to receive an honorarium for them. We're also going to invite people on our mailing list. So there's going to be people here that will be delighted to give when they're being blessed in such a way. You don't have to go around with your hand out when you are really ministering the living thing of God. Oh, people will just rejoice in the privilege of giving into such a ministry to see it flourish. I just sort of wondered how much it might cost to send 24,000 vials of oil out. You know, there's postage and things involved in all of that. This is a very rare day we live in that a person comes to minister expecting to receive nothing in return. That's because they're so afraid to touch the things of God that he will not be pleased with them, and God forbid that the oil would stop flowing. Now I want to talk to you just a minute about what the oil is for. We were told that oil is for healing, and actually it's for deliverance, healing, and restoration. Deliverance, healing, and restoration, more than just what we look at as physical healing. Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made whole? There's a difference between being healed and being made whole. the symptoms may be healed, and you will be better for a while, but if the root cause is not dealt with, you will not be made whole, and you're subject to being sick again. But this scripture in James 15, verse 14 through 15, is a very wonderful scripture that is used when people are praying for the sick and to know how you should pray for the sick. And he starts out by saying, is any sick among you? And this doesn't mean, is anybody in church today that doesn't feel good? It actually means really sick. The word is infirm. People that are stuck in bed, can hardly move, can't get up much at all. If they don't get healed, there's not going to be a lot of good things that are going to be happening. I mean, people are really sick. And serious diseases, of course, is speaking about. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now I want to come down here because I want to have time to open this last thing up to you, because even this morning, as I was getting ready for church, I felt the Lord was saying a couple of three things that really need to be understood about healing. We have actually, some people have just about enough knowledge about healing to keep them sick. Some people have knowledge that somebody else gave them that is not biblical knowledge, and that's another problem. Some people have been given unbelief instead of faith in what they've been taught. Other poor people aren't even involved in a church or a situation where they even pray for the sick, except if it be thy will, heal them. You know, if it's his will, he's going to heal them anyway, so why talk about it? You know what I'm saying? That is not much of an empowerment, but I want to share with you some things that I think that you'll find exciting and helpful. This verse says, let him call for the elders of the church. I just want to tell you what Johnny, you may remember his last name, I'm so sorry. Taylor, thank you. I would hate it if somebody said, you know, I've invited this woman to speak for us, her name's Sue, and I just never can remember her name. You know what I'm saying? So Johnny Taylor, he's a really nice guy. And he was saying that the Lord had shown him, how many of you know what the remnant is? I mentioned the word, the remnant. Not many. All right. Well, the remnant all the way through the Bible is those people that really believe God, that are going to stay true to him regardless of what everybody else does. It walks according to the word of God and is faithful and true to the very end, and love not their lives and to the end and to the death. So he says that the Lord is giving to the remnant in this hour an empowerment to pray, and calling them as the same as elders in our church should be empowered in this way as well. Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them, the elders are those that are spiritually mature, are those that really believe and those that really release their faith together. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that word is more realistically restore, not keep the sick from going to hell. And many of you know we need a lot of things before the end comes. We need a lot of restoration. I mean, nobody needs restoration in heaven, and it's too late in hell. So the fact of the matter is we need restoration now, and we need more than healing. We need deliverance, healing, and restoration. We need to be really restored. And this is where one of the books I wrote, it came out of, in the beginning, he restoreth my soul. The psalmist knew this. We've got to have ourselves restored from the things that we've been through, so we won't forevermore all of our lives saying, well, you know, honey, I've had a hard time. There's a man at the wellness that says, one day at a time. If you ask him, how are you today? One day at a time. And so we were just getting ready to come out of the dressing the other day, and I heard this man's voice, and I said to Joan, that's one day at a time. Because we have this idea that life is going to always be a struggle. I'm here to announce today it's going to be something way beyond a struggle, because Jesus died for an abundant life, and God is going to restore to us the years that the locusts have eaten, the palmer worm, the canker worm, that mighty army that's been sent to ravage your life and your health. God is going to restore those years. The years that the locusts have eaten. It is time. This is what's going to make the revival the revival. There's going to be such great restoration, and people are going to see it, and they're going to want what you want, and they're going to say, let me go to that church. And they will anoint with oil, and they will believe that something will begin. That word restore actually has in it, it actually means process. That's in the word. The healing process begins. The moment that I make a connection with a person that's believing, and I'm believing with them, and the oil has been given so that there can be a connection, an affirmation. God loves us so much that He has brought something that is supernatural. Just like when He brought manna from heaven. What's the difference? He brought manna from heaven. I'm remembering that Jane ministered recently, that we have the idea that we want to get healed, or we want God to meet our need, and thank you, Lord, we won't be needing to call on you anymore, because we've been taught to be independent, haven't we, all our lives. Oh, he's got out in his own house. He's independent now. Oh, I'd rather he'd stay in somebody else's house if he'd live right. You know, it's not the greatest thing in the world to be independent. What is great is to be dependent on Jesus Christ. And this is what Jane was saying in her message recently. In receiving healing and restoration, we need to learn to be dependent on Him for that continuing work that He wants to do in our midst. If you ever had the time to read Yonggi Cho's book, in which he tells about his healing, you'd have a different understanding about healing that would help you. You'd have an understanding that you don't have to have a miracle that you can see today or even next week. But what you have to have is a belief, a faith that God is going to do this thing. And as you continue to declare it, to believe it, to trust in it, to act like you believe it's going to happen, as you do that day after day after day. I'm glad I read that book, because John and I do some of the things Yonggi Cho taught us to do in that book. For example, you start out your day saying, I'm not a sick person, I'm a well person. I want to recommend that for you. That's a great thing to say every day. I am not a sick person. I'm a well person. John and I add, and we have a great destiny, and we're going to walk into it. And I pray for John. He will stand and walk any day now just like everybody else, and the enemy is not going to be able to keep that away from us. He got his healing. He was restored from tuberculosis, what we would call gradually. He received restoration from in his body. He was supposed to die from the tuberculosis. But he kept, every day he looked in the mirror and he said these things and he stated these things. And he and his wife both have been healed. His wife was healed not long ago when she was more than 70 of tuberculosis, must be prevalent in that country. God healed her of TB at 70. So I heard her speak right after that. We need to lift up our eyes and see that God's got a lot more in store for us. Amen. Than we think He does. Amen. The Lord told them that He wanted them not to just pray for healing, but for restoration. As He said, if they'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall restore the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. See, the part about the sins is the last part, but the healing and the restoration comes first. The Lord told them that he wanted this for them, not just that their bodies be put back whole again, with nothing missing, nothing lacking, but that all that had been involved because of the sickness, where they suffered loss or lack, would be restored. The financial loss that was suffered during your sickness, believe God, everything will be restored. The years that the locust has nibbled on your finances. All to be restored. We'll move into a great day of restoration. You in the book of Acts, Johnny pointed out, and I didn't have time to look it up, that in the book of Acts, the word for healing that means an ongoing work, not instantaneous, is mentioned 23 times in the book of Acts. And, of course, remember that Jesus prayed for a person who began to amend from that hour. Heidi Baker told me that the biggest part of people who are healed, it happens 2 or 3 days later. Isn't that interesting? They go from one village to another and they heal the people back in that village got healed after they left, the people that they had prayed for. And I've heard both Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin speak on the fact that we haven't understood that God doesn't just want us healed, He wants us made whole.
Yes.
Now some people, I just don't, you know, when I see myself fully healed, the first thing I see myself doing is riding on my bike through the trees out of the Creeper Trail. I see myself just doing it. Right after, I go through all the people in my neighborhood that I can walk to and give them my testimony. All these people that some of them I don't know, and some I do. But just knock on their door and say, I'm Pastor Sue Kern, I pastor this church right down here. Do you have 5 minutes that I could give you a testimony of what God just did for me? That's the first thing I'm going to do. And then I want to try out my new legs and feet, my fully recovered legs and feet, on a nice long bike ride. And I am believing God that the Lord wants to restore, He wants to renew, but He wants us to have some understanding of why sometimes healing takes a little while. I think we all want to know this. And if we keep our testimony, then the healing continues. We give all the emphasis when we tell about healings and give testimonies, we give the emphasis to the miraculous ones that you can see right before your eyes. And He was healed right there. We all saw Him get healed. And we haven't given a lot of emphasis to those people that have been healed gradually. You know, someone was talking to me the other day about that, about healing, and I said, oh, but you know, I've been healed of so much in the past several years. I'm just looking for an omega, and it will all be finished. And so, to quote Johnny, he says, you know, God can heal anybody that He wants to heal. But maybe He doesn't want to heal you right now and has a reason for it being gradual. Now that's not in line with some theology that's being taught, but just look at what we do see happening. We see in many cases that it takes a while. It sometimes takes a while. And God has reasons and He has things that He's doing. Now this is the good news. He hasn't said no to your healing. He's doing it in His way. And if you will cooperate with Him, He'll do it in His time. But if you quit cooperating with Him, He's not even going to do it in His time. Because you have to keep believing no matter what kind of a situation you find yourself in. And so, he has said this. In fact, the theme for our Bible school that we had here on campus for 10 years was developing the character to support your gifts. Isn't that neat? I wonder who got that word. Did that come from you, Jane? I have no idea where we don't even know how we started some things, but here we are. And so I always thought that was a wonderful thing. It says so much. But here's the way that Johnny said it. If God would heal you before He has done some work of cleansing and all, or a work of breaking, humbling, some things that He wants to be done in you. Now think about this. Your gifting can take you where your character cannot keep you. Your gifting can take you where your character cannot keep you. Now, here's why he said, this is very important, he said, in this move. Because God wants to use a pile of people now. I mean, he wants to use everybody, people like you sitting, like the ones I'm looking at today. He wants to use you to pray for people today and see wonders and miracles and to see people healed. Therefore, he's doing a work in you. And Johnny is very convinced of this and says that he gave some instances where he had seen this to be so. God allowed Jerry now is the one with the Bible that Johnny doesn't understand why he has. Isn't this good? It's just normal people like this. This is all the information I got. So my husband John is the world's greatest to ask me the questions that people did not answer when I was talking to them. Well, what about this and what about that? I said, I didn't ask them. But this is what Johnny told us about Jerry. He said, he didn't say how long, but for quite a while, we prayed for Jerry's healing. It sounded to me like he had cancer. And he said, and they kept believing God, and they kept believing God, and they kept believing God until the healing came. And it sounds as if the Lord allowed that to be used to purify and do the work in Jerry, to where Jerry would be willing to just be in an ordinary meeting in the back of a store, a bookstore, and allow the Lord to say to him, as some little wild-eyed preacher woman from Tennessee, why don't you go over there and pray for her to be healed? Because you won't hear things like that if you think you're wonderful. You won't even hear it if you think you've got it all together. You won't even hear it if you're trying to be humble. And I told you when the Lord taught me this word compassion, he said to me, when I fill you with compassion, then you are equipped to minister in healing. You have to be filled. In the first place, people will start driving you crazy. And they'll expect more of you than you can give them. And they'll want you to do things for them when you're totally worn out. And they don't care that you're worn out. And I don't blame them. They're as sick as they can be and you're not. So go ahead and get worn out. You know, when the Lord in the river movement, this happened here in 94, over a year. The most outrageous manifestations of the Spirit. And when I went up to Blue Mountain that year, I would go every year for about 25 years. And I was praying for people, even little children, went out in the Spirit and went to heaven and came back and told their stories. I've got this on a tape somewhere I've got to find. I'll show it to you when I find it. And it was just was such a wonderful thing that God was doing there. And I remembered that one night, I don't know, there must have been, you know, maybe 500-600 people, because people found out about how God was moving. They started coming in. Plus, they went everywhere and got people down the kitchen and everywhere in the world. Got them out of all the classes that they were in and stood them all up in front of me, you know, to be prayed for. This is how God was moving at that time. And he had put an anointing in my hands. It's really quite a wonderful, amazing thing. And you see, all I have to do is to tell about that, and it comes into my hands like it is right now. I've never understood it. You can't understand the way God works. But I think he wants us to always know about his wonderful faithfulness. And so I'd prayed for people. I'd prayed, I don't even know how long. But I was so tired that it seemed like my pain had pain buddies. I was just aching all over. Aching just. And so I think it was 2 a.m. when I went to bed. The next meeting in the morning was at 9 o'clock. And so here I'm praying for people again. They want me to pray for people before I leave, before my plane leaves. And so they bring this girl up. And I had prayed for her the night before. And she had fallen under the power. And her friends had moved their sleeping bags in and spent the night with her there in the sanctuary where we were praying. So they just got her up and put her in line to be prayed for again. And so I prayed for several people already. I was praying kind of fast, because when the anointing would come, I'd want to pray for as many people as I could. And there her face was in front of me, and I just put both my hands behind me. And I said, "Now, wait a minute. I'm not praying for you until you tell me where you went last night. You don't know. I was with Jesus all night." And here's a girl whose mother was in witchcraft, whose father had abused her, who was going to commit suicide, except her friends had dragged her up to that camp. She went out under the power of the Spirit and spent the night with Jesus. So she said, "I'm always going to serve him now, forever and ever." And I thought, I should hope so. And I'm just thinking about all of the things, church, that God's going to let us do. And he's going to let all of us do this. Remember when Tommy Welchel was here talking about Azusa Street? And he said he and his buddy used to say, "We're going to run down there and see how many people we can get healed tonight." It was, I mean, everybody prayed for healing because God was moving that way. And obviously, by his giving oil and saying, "Keep giving it away and I'll make some more," obviously, he's wanting us to pray for people and he's wanting that healing. Now, the reason I left this little thing about your healing being progressive until the end is because I want to leave you with that thought before we pray for you. Because I want today to be the day that you believe, even if you had given up hope before, or whatever it was you thought. And by the way, I know that we have some people here, maybe three or four that I know of, two or three, that are battling with cancer. And I've heard so many testimonies of healing of cancer. And I want you to believe God that cancer is not a hard word for God. Amen. That Jesus died for every kind of disease known to man. These things are only names, and Jesus has the name that is above every other name. And I want you, whatever your disease is, whatever your chronic illness is, whatever that problem is, I want you to believe God and release your faith. Start believing today when you're prayed for. But listen, I want you to get up tomorrow morning and say, "I am not a sick person. I am a well person. Jesus died for this. By his stripes, I am healed. God has set a destiny over my life. My life will not be cut short before I can fulfill my destiny." And you keep declaring those things. And you get some scriptures, put them on your mirror or wherever you need to put them. And you start talking that way. And when people ask you how you're doing, just tell them, "You're recovering. I'm recovering. God's healing me. I'm in the process of healing." No matter what you do or don't see manifest at this time, healing comes to you today because we believe today. Oh, his anointing, his presence is just so here today. It's so here today. I want to invite Pastor Eddie to come. Nice if you didn't get back just at this time, Pastor Eddie. And I want to... Here's what we want to do. I want those that are going to help me praying this morning to come up, and would you please spread yourselves out all the way across the front, sort of like up against the altar there. So be sure that you have your bottle of oil with you. And Eddie, you can go ahead and... Are you wanting to be prayed for? Oh, wonderful. That's great. Tremendous. Okay. This is great. So, here's what I want you to do. Some of you need to stand over here so we can spread people out here. All right? That's good. Now, what I want you to do, we're just going to be playing music then so that Eddie can be involved as well. Now, what I'd like to ask you to do is I want you to just stand together. Because his anointing is here and his presence is here. And since the oil came from his presence, then we declare there's going to be a working of that presence as we pray today. But remember this, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is the healer, but he's given this oil, I believe, to show his love. and to show how much He wants to touch you if you just make yourselves available. And so I'm going to invite you to, what I want you to do is to just form lines. You can just move out in the aisle. And I also want to say this. Those of you that are not able to stand and can't stand and wait, would you just please sit in these front seats or over there in those front seats? Because I know how hard it would be to stand when you don't feel like it. And each person that is prayed for, we're not praying long prayers, but we're praying faith-filled prayers. And I'm believing that today is a very special day, that God is going to, He's going to do some miracles, some supernatural things. There will be some things manifest. And that there will also be those of you that know that you've been touched today. Your healing comes today when we believe God for it. But listen to me. Will you walk in it every day? Let me see your hand. Will you confess it every day? Will you say every day, it is mine? Do not say, well, I don't feel anything. None of that. And don't bother be asking each other, well, how are you feeling? I want the answer to that to be being healed every day, receiving my healing every day. I mean, you know, if a finger grows on or whatever, show it. Be sure you show people. It's something real unusual, that's fine. But I think this is just such a wonderful thing that God is doing. And I believe that God's let us tap into something really wonderful. And I'm excited about what God wants to do among His people today. So go ahead and start with the music. Oh, let me pray first, and then we can go ahead. Lord, we're believing You. Lord, You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Would you lift your hands in prayer with me? You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. We are the people on earth that need the healing. We declare that we are just clay pots, just earthen vessels. And You provided healing because it's now that we need it. We'll never need it in the hereafter. We need healing now. We need it today. And we need restoration of our lives that have been wrecked by both sickness and so many other things. And we're believing You, our restoration begins today. We're believing You, Lord, that You're going to amaze us by restoring the years that the cankerworm and the palmerworm, that caterpillar, that great army that the enemy has caused to try to work among us. But we declare, but Thou hast anointed me with fresh oil. And I thank You and I praise You today for the anointing with fresh oil that is coming to Your people today. And we declare that, Lord, because You have sent it, then we have a confidence that You desire our healing today. And we release our faith as these release their faith with us to see themselves be healed totally and completely in Jesus' name.